Welcome back, this is Mark from the Wayback Group, and this is the fourth in this four-part mini-series on spiritual life explained. Part four, being holistic. If you haven't already listened to the first three parts, then I really do recommend that you listen to them first, and you'll probably find that what we're going to discuss now makes a lot more sense. So let's do a really condensed recap. Belief is the basis of religion, where a spirituality is founded in direct experience, and the ultimate spiritual goal for human life is to become closer to God through experience of the qualities of God, along with humility and reverence towards God. God is always guiding you to achieve this, and your higher self is guiding you too. However, free will means you can ignore this guidance and instead come from habits, ego, and fear. If you go too far in the wrong direction, your body manifests dis-ease as a kind of spiritual SOS to get your attention. Literally, your body is used as the canvas for your higher self to leave a message, wake up. So surely the wisest thing would be to make sure we're receptive to God and our higher self, right? That way we can avoid unnecessary disease, but more importantly, become closer to God and mature as a human being. Well, I'd agree with you on that. So let me share a really important insight with you, which is something that most people simply do not realize fully. This life isn't the first incarnation that your higher self has had. This life is, however, a wonderful opportunity for you. And when I say you, I mean all that you are. An opportunity to grow and evolve spiritually. But if, for whatever reason, you have been ignoring your higher self and ultimately God, then two things happen. The first is that God carries on guiding you and loving you. Yes, that's right. God is unconditional in God's love for you and God's support. God never abandons you nor turns God's back on you. Your choice, having heard this, is simple. Be grateful or take it for granted. Being grateful is the path that brings you closer to God, whereas taking God for granted is not. Free will means you get to decide how you respond. And since you've already responded just now, you've experienced free will. And so this is a nice real-time example of how experience is higher than belief. You may have had a belief about how you might respond, or a belief in the presence of free will, but what just happened was a direct experience of how you reacted and therefore of your free will. So what is the other thing that happens if we repeatedly ignore our higher selves and or God? Well, it's simple. Your higher self does not have a body. It doesn't sleep, eat, exercise, or feel things the way you feel things. Its interaction with you is purely based in awareness, and if you're not being aware of it, then keeping things simple, it loses interest in being aware of you and the life you are living. Your higher self will not go away as such, though there are consequences for any person who is deliberately choosing to do wrong. Think of it like this. Your higher self loves you, values you, and guides you in subtle ways. You keep ignoring it, and so the relationship between you, your brain, your body, and your sense of self down here, and your higher self, which includes your soul and spirit, is not nurtured and HPs. For there to be a strong relationship, it requires you to respond positively to your higher self. This doesn't mean that you wake up and say, "Good morning, higher self, how are we today?" Although you can if you like. Rather, the ideal response is that when it guides you, you are receptive and you follow the guidance, something you may not be consciously aware of. In fact, the relationship is meant to be guidance from the top down, rather than an actual conscious conversation. And I'm going to explain a bit later how you can foster this. What you've been watching up till now was recorded on the 12th of September 2023. You may notice I look slightly different, and that's because today is the 5th of October 2023. And the reason why I've kind of interrupted things is I'd obviously already recorded part four. Each week I've been editing and producing each of the parts, so it's been an ongoing process and it's got me to really focus a lot more on this topic matter. And what's happened is, in the process of editing part one and part two and part three, and we've got to part four, I've realised that I've learned even more information and I wish to share this information with you now. So rather than say, carrying on with part four as it was originally recorded, what I'm going to do is stop, as I have done, and we're going to introduce even more information, and then we'll go back to part four, because what I recorded beforehand was extremely relevant and still is. So this is really kind of a bonus section. And so if you've watched this far, well done. You're getting extra information that you wouldn't have got otherwise. So we were just discussing what happens when you are not receptive to your higher self. And as I've explained, your higher self loses interest in the life that you are living and therefore kind of withdraws a little bit. But I need to make it clear, the higher self hasn't fallen asleep and it hasn't gone anywhere. It isn't that it doesn't care anymore, it's simply that it understands the bigger picture. And if you in this particular incarnation are not giving it attention, then it will simply stop giving the guidance. It's still being guided by God. It still wants to guide you. But it also realizes that if you have gone too far into the world around you and into yourself, be that ego or fear or anything else that is negative, then it can't get through to you. So it will wait. And if the opportunity comes up, it will try and steer you back so that you can start the relationship again. Now, I'm going to share an important kind of statistic with you, if you like, but I want you to pay attention to how you respond to this information. So on the 12th of September, when I first recorded this, across the whole planet, almost every single person was completely asleep to their higher self. And that's quite shocking. That includes spiritual people. In fact, when I say completely, there were a few who were slightly more awake, but even those, and I count myself amongst them, even those that you would think are fully awake to the guidance of the higher self and to the presence of the higher self were not. Now, it's partly because of the nature of the world that we're in. There has never been a more stressful, sensory overloading experience as a human being than there is now. Sure, there's been other times in the past where there have been strifes and wars and things, but in terms of the constant demands of our attention, this is the world we have found ourselves in is unprecedented. But what it means is that to be truly, properly awake to your higher self is a very, very, very rare thing indeed. And I'll be humble and honest enough to say that I had room for improvement as well. Now, the reason why I asked you to pay attention was to how you responded was your response was you demonstrating free will. And this is how subtle free will is. People think it's all about the big decisions. It's not. It's in the moment. How did you respond? Did you take that news as negatively, like, well, how does he know? Or how dare he suggest that? Or I'm feeling judged, or I'm feeling like I failed. Did you take it in any way negative, or did you take it positively, like, wow, well, now that I know that, I can do something with that. That spurs me on to be more present and awake to my higher self. You know, so in other words, you had a choice. The information was presented to you and you responded, and your response was your free will. And the reason why I bring that up is, again, because we've talked a lot about free will in the past, but I wanted to keep it present in your awareness, just how important free will is, okay? But this means that to be truly awake is an extremely rare thing, but it is a possibility for everyone. If you're listening to this, you're already moving in the right direction, because I'm going to help you to be more awake. But why is it that we could be completely asleep to our higher selves? Well, it's simple. Your higher self is there and it's guiding you. It's always been doing it. But if you keep ignoring the guidance, it's not like you go, oh, here comes some guidance, I'm choosing to ignore it. It's simply that you're not receptive. Your focus is into your personality, your body, your life, the physical realm. And so your attention is in the wrong direction. So you basically don't even realize that you've got a higher self, let alone that you're being guided. And so whatever it is that is more demanding of your attention, for whatever reason, whether it's pleasure, delight or stress or fear or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter, but whatever it is that draws your attention is taking you away from your higher self and ultimately away from God. And so these subtler things aren't part of your everyday existence, and so you basically would not notice if they were not there. But for whatever reason, because you've not been giving it attention, then you don't notice its absence. And that's how it is possible that most of the people on the planet were simply not aware. So when I talk about spiritual awakening, maybe you can start to understand it in terms of awakening to your higher self. And your spirit is part of your higher self, as is your soul and other things. You don't need to know what they are. They've always been there. They predate you. And we'll get onto that, because that's a really important point. But they've always been there. So you don't need to know what they are, just as you don't need to know how your physical body functions. It functions. Your job is to be aware of it, take care of it, nurture it, etc. So your opportunity is to be aware that you have a higher self and to nurture the relationship, to take care of that relationship, to value it. But spiritual awakening can be therefore considered to be awakening to what is already there to guide you back to God, which is your higher self. And in terms of spirituality, your spirit is the focal point of that. So what can help us? And look, when I discovered that I was not as awake as I could be, my motivation was, well, how can I be more awake? And a big part of that was to start to really understand the nature of the relationship between myself, yourself, who you are, and your higher self. So if you think about how we live our lives very much, we can talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but basically wants, needs and desires, and it starts with the basic stuff like you don't want to be hungry and you want to be warm and you want to have shelter, and then it goes on to more complex things. In other words, the more we have that we need, then we start to look at what we want and then we and what we like, and so we adorn our lives with possessions and we put value into things that are material, and we're going in the wrong direction. But because we're focused outwards in that way, and it's all about, for a lot of people, I mean, look, I know if you're spiritual and you're listening to this, then there'll be a much more balance and harmony. But I'm talking in general terms, that for a lot of people, it's about how they look and how and health and relationships and wealth and those fundamental basic things. So we see everything around us and we want to control or manipulate our environment to have the best possible life. And that's a big motivating factor for why the law of attraction is so attractive and also a massive kind of dead end from a spiritual point of view, because it encourages that attitude of you're in control and you should whip everything into shape, you know, tell the universe what you want, tell God what you want. And so we think everything is there to serve us. You came into this incarnation because your higher self chose to incarnate into this incarnation. It was your higher self's choice. And you are not here to tell your higher self what you need and to kind of boss it around. You're here to serve your higher self. You're here to help it. It chose to have this life so that it could learn and experience and grow. So you're here to facilitate that. Not the other way around. Your higher self isn't there to give you what you want. It's not there to arrange for what you think you need. Now, your higher self does care and it is there to help you, and it helps you through guiding you. But we need to get it straight in our heads that we're here because of our higher selves to serve our higher selves. So a really practical and good way of getting our head around this is to think in terms of time. So what's the thing that is the longest existing thing? In fact, I'll give you a clue, it's beyond time, it's God. So God is eternal. God doesn't have a beginning, God doesn't have an end, God has always been. So the greatest thing is God. And God created humanity, which means God created your higher self. Now your higher self has been around for every single incarnation it's had. In other words, it's not transitory. From the moment it was created, it's had a series of incarnations. So it's been around for a very long time. You could count it in the thousands or tens of thousands of years. You, according to my YouTube demographics, most likely have been around between 30 and 50 years. Maybe longer, maybe less. It doesn't matter. What I'm giving you is a sense of scale. You go from the infinite, the eternal, to something that is very old and ancient, to something that has maybe about 84 years on the clock. Maybe a bit more, maybe a bit less. In other words, in terms of scale, we can see that that which endures is of greater value than that which is transitory. And if you think about your own life, okay, look, you might own a pair of jeans for a few years and then they're worn out and you get rid of them. You valued them. But you understood that you, being something that will live for maybe 80 plus years, are more important than that pair of jeans or that pair of shoes or the meal that you're going to have. In other words, some things only last a little while, some things last a lot longer, and God is beyond all time and measure. So when we put it into this perspective of time, then we see that at the top is God, then our higher selves, and then us. Again, this isn't to run us into the ground. This is to make us realize how precious we are. Now, why would I say that we are precious if I've just said that we are transitory and our higher self is a thing that endures and has therefore more value? Well, look, God created humanity for a purpose. In podcast 42, I talked about this and I hinted at it. And I said this.
Because God intended humanity so that they could demonstrate goodness. This is why you could say it pleases God to see humans demonstrating goodness towards each other.
So God has God's reasons for creating humanity. And your higher self chose this time, this life, to incarnate for a purpose. So if it was valuable enough to God to create humanity, and you are the fulfillment of that process of being human, then obviously you are valuable to God, or you are what God intended. You have purpose. This life has great purpose. So what I'm trying to do is get us to orientate towards understanding that our role is to facilitate our higher self, and our higher self's role is to fulfill the purpose that God created our higher self for. Frankly, quite awe-inspiring to realize that you living this life are part of God's plan, but God intended it to be from God to higher self to you. In other words, there is a flow, and that flow is demonstrated by guidance, among other things. So I've said that we are here effectively to serve our higher self. So what is the we that I'm referring to? Let's just be a bit more specific, because I've hinted that the higher self is the soul and the spirit. So the we that is here to serve our higher self, obviously, is this, you know, physical body. It's the brain, it's the heart, and obviously we've got the organs and skeletal system, all of these things. But really, what matters is the brain and the heart, or the head and the heart, to keep it really, really simple. And that might surprise you. I mean, I think most people who are spiritual will go, yeah, the heart matters, we can understand that, but why the brain? And I say that because so much of the mental state is almost vilified spiritually, like, oh, you know, the monkey mind and all of these things. But actually, what are we here for? We're here so that by our experience and how we choose to react to things in our world, we can help our soul to grow. Our soul has soul qualities such as courage and good judgment and all of these things. And so when we demonstrate something positive, normally in a situation where there's a certain stress, for example, you don't show courage when it's not, you know, if it's in order to show courage, you need to be facing something that is quite challenging. Okay, so whenever we make a choice, head, that is aligned more with being good, heart, then the outcome is our soul, our higher self, grows through that experience. I'm keeping it really, really simple. But it's the head that chooses. And it's also where we have our attitudes and how we focus. Now, when we are being spiritual, then there is almost like a harmony between head and heart. We listen to our soul, we listen to our spirit, we listen to the guidance. That all comes fundamentally from the heart. And that is possible because of humility, which again is to do with the heart. But we need to actually demonstrate things, and that's to do with the head. So without the capacity to explore thought and idea and concepts and things, then there is no choice. We'd be automated or automatic. Because we can make a choice, then there is great benefit and value in making choices. So earlier I asked you to pay attention to how you responded when I gave you some information. That response, if it was positive, moved you up because you demonstrated wisdom, you demonstrated neutrality, you demonstrated good judgment, and all of these are soul qualities, and so, or qualities around the soul and the spirit, and so you demonstrated that you were more good in that moment. If you went the other way and you reacted negatively, that's okay. Another opportunity will come along and you'll have an opportunity to maybe learn from this and then next time demonstrate a more neutral, wise, higher response. And so, don't you see, it's because we've got a brain that we are able to choose, and because we've got a heart, we're able to come from a stance of love. And why do we have value? Because we are, through the choices and experiences that we are privy to in this life, we can bring our soul and our spirit and our higher self closer to God. So your higher self totally loves you and adores you and wants what is best for you. And we'll get on to that, because, you know, in the part, the previous part where we talked about the law of attraction, and basically I said how actually it's all ego driven and it's the spirit, kind of the antithesis of spirituality. There is actually a harmonious way where you can have nice things in life and have a beautiful life that's harmonious with your higher self and God and who you are. Okay, I want to share something quite inspiring though. When you make a choice and you react in a positive way, it's not just what happens in your head. Every time you demonstrate goodness, it pleases God. Now, I'm not going to go into too specific things here. Just understand that that spark of joy that comes from God is actually put into your heart. And at the end of your life, the amount of good that you've done, in other words, the amount of joy you have brought God because it pleases God when you are good, goes to your higher self. The goodness that you develop carries on. It goes to your higher self. It doesn't just end when this physical body comes to an end. But that's a beautiful thing. Your goodness will literally carry on long after you've gone. And the next life that you incarnate and into will benefit from that goodness. This is so beautiful. This is why I wanted to kind of interrupt part four and put this extra information in. In the book, The Six Virtues, I introduce these different qualities of character which help us to become more good, more godly, and closer to God. And one of them is respect. And with all of the virtues, you can explore them in terms of relation to self, relation to others, and relation to God. But now that we're starting to really understand that we have a higher self, then I would include the relationship that we have to self with respect to the virtues, or the relationship we have to others, I would include our higher selves in that. And so if we look at respect, for example, so respect and deference kind of go hand in hand, and it's basically saying that there are things or people that, or fundamentally God, that we should respect because they are higher, they are greater. And that doesn't put us down, that just recognises what is greater. And so we can look at our relationship to God and to our higher self in different ways. So earlier I looked at it in terms of time, but I invite you to look at it in different ways. So let's first look at it in terms of awareness. What has the most awareness? Obviously it's God. And your higher self, being higher up and also being much older and having clarity because it's not down here in the third dimension, has less than God, but much more than you. And then in terms of certainly spiritually, how much awareness do we have on the third dimension? Not much, if any. That's why we quite often have to sit in stillness and let go of the third dimension to have any awareness at all. So again, this isn't to put us down, but it's just to put things into perspective. Let's look at another one. So for example, knowledge. Only God is all-knowing, but our higher self, having lived for many, many incarnations and having a much higher perspective on things, knows a lot more than we do, otherwise it could not guide us. And then what do we have? Well, we have the knowledge of this existence, and that's a fantastic thing, and as I've talked about, that contributes to our higher self's growth. But our knowledge is limited, and so again, it's just recognizing that our higher self has higher knowledge and wider knowledge, and God is all-knowing. But it's pretty amazing, isn't it, to think that God and your higher self are guiding you. And let's look at perception. Only God can perceive all, be everywhere. Our higher self is still a limit, but it can perceive this life, it can perceive the higher realms where it is. What can we perceive? Well, we can perceive with our senses, so we're pretty much in the physical realm. So again, it's not to run us down, but it's to ask the question that who should we entrust with guiding us? Should it be us, because we perceive the least, we have the least awareness and the least knowledge? Or should it be our higher selves and God? Our higher self perceives more, is aware of more, knows more, and God is absolute in all of these things. This can really help us orientate our lives as a human being, and to trust our higher self and to trust God. Why wouldn't we? They know more, they see more, they're aware of more. So doesn't this just lift a lot of the pressure that we put ourselves under? And it goes back to why having the idea that you should be dictating to the universe what you should manifest to make you happy is utter nonsense. That comes from the little self, ego. And if you turn it all around, when we think we know everything and when we think we're the be all and end all, when we think we have the greatest awareness and the right to decide what our life is for, that's hubris, that's ego. Now hopefully we're starting to have a much better perspective of where we fit in the bigger picture of our higher selves existence and in the bigger picture of God. Fascinating. So look, in the previous podcast we were talking about how the law of attraction and the attitude that drives that is really one of ego. And you might be thinking, well look, are we allowed to have nice things? Are we allowed to have desirable things in our life? And the answer is yes. Look, so you have God, you have your higher self, and then you have you, and you are the experiential vehicle, if you like. You are here to provide the rich experience that your higher self can learn from and grow closer to God. And it's only possible because we're within duality, and duality is all about opposites. So you've got hot and cold, light and dark, yin and yang, male and female, all these various opposites. And as a human being, we're meant to have meaningful relationships, because to experience, for example, love, you need two things, one to love and one to be loved, and then vice versa. To experience, for example, to appreciate hot, you can't experience the value of heat if there isn't also cold, because you need heat to flow from where it is hot to where it is cold, and so on. So we appreciate light because in its absence there is darkness, but you need both. And this is what duality is all about. It's about providing a rich experience within which to explore the qualities of fundamentally God. So what makes us good is when we demonstrate the qualities of being godly, being an expression of God's goodness. And that's why to be good is pleasing to God. So we can only do that within duality, because you can only experience the qualities of something within the space that provides for the absence of it. When it comes to, for example, the big things that people are focused on when they're doing manifestation work or the law of attraction, etc., is it always comes down fundamentally to health, wealth, and relationships. And it's not that you aren't meant to have these things, it's simply that when we try and dictate the timing and the qualities of them, the specifics, from our lower self, then we're actually getting things completely upside down. If you're meant to be in a relationship, your higher self will guide you to that, but it will be because it's part of the growth of you and your higher self, not to satisfy desire. So when we become more aligned with our higher self, and our ultimately that means being aligned with God, then everything is in the right order. God wants what's best for you. Your higher self wants what's best for you, and when you are receptive to their guidance, you will receive what is best for you. When we're aligned with ego, we're trying to dictate the terms of, well, we want a girlfriend or a boyfriend and we want it now, and they should be this tall and this attitude and da 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 da. You know, people do vision boards to kind of try and dictate all the parameters of what it is they're trying to attract, whether it's a relationship or a job or a car or a house or anything. But they're getting it all wrong. So we're meant to have nice things, but these nice things, be it relationships or house or whatever it is to create an environment to learn from. And you can learn a lot in a relationship. And the nature of being human is to be in meaningful relationships, because it's about the flow of love and the flow of information, and ultimately about observing the qualities of what it is to be good through interactions with others. So it's not that you're not meant to, it's that you're meant to have these things at the right time according to what you need to grow towards God. And so you are being guided, but the guidance isn't go and sit in that bar at this time and you'll meet this woman and everything will work out, or you'll meet this man. No, it's very much about, right, you are now ready for the next step in your life, and that is to have a relationship, a meaningful one. So the guidance is to get you ready for that. So what are relationships about? Well, kindness, compassion, loving, empathy, all of these things. So in order to get you ready for a good relationship, you need to be more able to be compassionate, kind, empathic, all these different qualities, etc. And so the guidance will be to bring up things and opportunities and situations in your life that give you an opportunity to grow in compassion, to grow in tolerance, to grow in empathy, to grow in kindness, to grow in lovingness. And when you are ready, because you are now in that more loving, kind, compassionate state, then by the path of least resistance and synchronicity, you'll be guided to be in the right place at the right time, to meet the right kind of person for you. But it's not about you want to meet someone and this is what they should be like, and therefore the universe or your higher self or God rearranges the fabric of everything to satisfy your desire. No, it's about you being aligned with your higher self and receptive to your higher self, and your higher self will naturally lead you in a direction of growth that will lead to more goodness, more good things in your life, relationships, health, well-being, etc. And we've already talked a lot about the connection between health and well-being and what, you know, your relationship with your higher self. So it's no surprise that if you're going in the wrong direction, you will have dis-ease in your life. So I just wanted to clarify that, really, that it's not that you're not meant to have lovely things, it's that you will be more likely to have them when you are aligned with your higher self, therefore allowing the unfolding of this wonderful thing called life and being guided by your higher self and receptive to their guidance. So the only thing getting in the way is the lower self. And anytime you find yourself imposing ideals, timings, expectations, details into what you want for life, then that's you coming from ego and desire and fear, imposing limits on how you should progress in your life. So again, the big message here is, if you trust your higher self, if you trust God, and you're more interested in serving them and being receptive to them, then you will probably end up in the right place and having a wonderful experience of life. That doesn't mean there won't be challenges, but those challenges are simply opportunities to learn and grow and to become more good. So it's wonderful, it's amazing. And it's just about keeping the orientation right and understanding your part as a lower self in a much, much bigger picture. So we're going to jump back to what I originally recorded on the 12th of September. And we were talking about how people can be asleep to their higher self, or various levels of not aware of their higher selves and not receptive to their higher selves. But it may surprise you to learn that even spiritual people, genuinely spiritual people, may also fall into this category. And the reason is the same. The moment being spiritual becomes a habit, a ritual, a belief system, or an identity, then you are no longer present and receptive. Anytime you are living from your habits, your beliefs, your lower identity, your ego, even if it is an I am spiritual identity, then you are focused into your lower self. Being holistic means that you are consciously being present, humble, and intentionally receptive to your higher self and God. The irony is that the more intellectual a person is, the more they are in their head thinking about being spiritual, philosophizing, ruminating, analyzing, judging, and so forth, then the more asleep they are, because I remind you what I said way back in the introduction. Spiritual growth has very little to do with deep intellectual understanding and philosophy. Rather, it comes from the heart. I said I'd discuss how we can foster the relationship between us and our higher selves, and I've already answered that in what's just been said. But let us break it down into actionable things. Number one, being humble. There's a wonderful podcast on humility, and I'll link to it below. But for now, the take-home message is that humility means you stay out of ego, and you're aware that you don't know it all, and therefore you're naturally open to guidance from your higher self and from God, even if you don't consciously believe in God. Number two, intention. Intention is so important, because it's how you orientate your lower self. So if you have the intention to be more aware of your higher self, you will be. So you could simply intend on the inside something along the lines of, my dear higher self, I'm sorry that I have not been as receptive to you, but I intend to be more receptive, more aware, and more present and awake so that I can serve you. So my dear higher self, I love you, I value you, and I'm grateful for you and all that you do, whether I realize it or not. thank you, here I am. Or words to that effect. It's intention is, it can be much shorter, it could be as deep as you want, but it's about setting a positive intention in a particular direction. Now, what's really powerful is to take intention and refine it into an affirmation. And so, for example, you could affirm something like, I am receptive to my higher self, and I am aware of my higher self, and I am here to serve my higher self. Now, again, it's about finding your own words, but be careful when you're doing affirmations. They've got to be positive. So never state it in the negative, like I don't want to be asleep to my higher self. Always frame it in the positive, like I am awake to my higher self. Okay, so keep it positive and keep it in the present. So don't say, I will be more awake to my higher self. Say, I am more awake to my higher self. So keep it positive and keep it in the present, and that will make affirmations much more profound and impactful. So this is wonderful stuff, and it's about using your intention to orientate towards the thing that you desire. So ultimately, God. So again, you can take what I've just said about higher self and you can extrapolate that and deepen it in the direction of God. But find your own words. Okay, we're going to jump back now to what was previously recorded, because what I'm about to say is, I think, very, very important to hear. The right time for change is always now, never in the future. Now is awake, the future is asleep. Number 3, love. Your higher self is the only one, other than Jesus and God, who will never leave you, who genuinely always wants what's best for you, who knows you completely and who loves you profoundly. Others come and go, but your higher self is always with you. Do you love your higher self? Do you recognize them as your best friend? Do you yearn to be complete? Isn't it time you moved your love for your higher self, self-love, out of the unconscious drawer and onto the table of your everyday life? Like having the photo of your lover on your desk. Be still. Take a deep breath. Intend to be in your heart. Just think one word. Love. Let go of the need to experience phenomena, or have the moment validated by some feeling or sensation. Just sit with yourself, present, awake, and loving. You know, feelings and sensations really are beneath who you really are. When you're stiller than that noise, then you will start to recognize the you that has always been there, that is ageless, that seems to be wiser and far stiller. Welcome home. Say hello to your old friend. They've been waiting for you. Now take the next steps in life together. God bless. Now take the next steps in life together. God bless. That's supposed to be the end of the podcast. Fall in love with yourself, but I don't mean in a narcissistic way. I mean to know that you have a higher self and to know that you are worthy. All this criticizing and judging and I'm not good enough and I'm being punished or it's someone else's fault, that's just noise coming out of the lower self. You know, most people have never, ever experienced stillness. I mean, they may have sat still. They may have momentarily been enthralled in something like a movie or music. That's not stillness. Stillness is when there isn't a distraction, when you're present. And if people haven't experienced stillness, there isn't been space for them to be receptive. Receptive to their higher self, receptive to God. Yeah. The tragedy is, and then some people start to become still, start to awaken, and they get caught up in things like the law of manifesting, the law of attraction, Abraham's teachings, and that instead of them listening to their higher selves or God, they're listening to some very dark beings on a higher dimension that are trying to distract them. The antidote or the solution is humility, because when we're humble, then we are more receptive to God. We're out of our ego, and these dark beings that attract people, they play on ego. They make you feel good, make you feel powerful, make you feel loved. And then you give them your attention. When we remain humble, we don't take the bait of ego. We don't have the hubris of thinking that we know better than God what we need in our lives, etc. So it really does come down to the virtues, and humility is the first of them. So this is quite a, this podcast series is quite a strong message. I've talked very openly and honest about the history going back in time, about being led astray, but then that's why I value the truth even more. My journey is not the same as your journey. My journey is not going to be the same as other people's journeys, and it's not saying that my journey is the right way. I've wasted so much time making mistakes and going in the wrong direction. But luckily I was still receptive to God's guidance, and luckily I valued truth, and that's what got me out of some of the spiritual holes that perhaps I had started to head into. Anyway, I'm just talking freely now, but one of the key things, I think, and it'll probably be missed by most people, was the fact that I said that change is now. There's an idea that because it's been going on a long time, it's going to be hard to change. It's only ego that clings to things. You know, once someone's got an identity, I'm a teacher of Abraham, or I'm a manifester, or, you know, not just that, but anything really, you know. It's only ego that's banging that drum. The higher self isn't banging the drum. God isn't banging the drum, and who's greater? So when we choose change, one of the things that we need to let go of is the idea that it's going to take a long time, because it isn't. If we are dedicated, earnest, motivated, then change can happen very, very quickly. And again, it just comes down to, we'll practice the virtues, but do it consciously. Take on board everything that's just been said about your higher self and God. Pay attention to feedback. And I've seen it. I've seen people transformed in days. But all they're doing is getting rid of the junk and revealing who they really are. And it's sublime and it's natural. And it doesn't require some spiritual collective on the fourth dimension called Abraham or any other name. They've gone by many. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see how this podcast gets received. I don't know if this little chat I'm having here I'll share with anyone or delete it. The last words. God bless. People say that all the time, but they don't understand how profound that is. On some level, one human saying to another human, God bless, or God bless you, is saying, dear God, please help this person, please heal this person, please bring them closer to you, please do more of what you already do for them. What a gift, what an amazing gift. Did you know you can bless your family, you can bless yourself, you can bless your higher self, bless other people. God isn't limited. So if you're still listening to this, and if I've made it available in some way, God bless you. Really. And if you have any resistance whatsoever to being blessed, that's ego. You know, I deliberated a little bit on whether or not to share that recording with you, because it wasn't planned, it wasn't part of the script, but it was speaking genuinely from the heart. And honestly and openly, and so I've put it in there and left it in there, and the camera stopped recording, the battery had gone flat, but I think I'd said all that needed to be said at that point. And I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you. Now, genuinely, I whoever you are, I want to thank you, because in the process of recording all of these series of four podcasts and going back to do more research, which has led to this filming, I'd gone back to some of the previous podcasts, especially the ones where I talk about Jesus and God and love and reverence and things like this. And even though I was the one that created those podcasts, what I was sharing came through me, not from me, but through me. And so having gone back to them, even though I knew them in great depth, I got new things from them, because who I am today isn't who I was when I first recorded them. And it's the same when if you've already listened to some of those older podcasts, who you are right now is not the person that listened to them in the past. And so I wanted to kind of encourage you, because I found that when I go back to these things, because there is truth in them, then what I get from them isn't dependent on them, it's dependent on where I am. Maybe you've noticed this already. So go back to some of the previous older podcasts and listen to them again. And I'm genuinely curious what you will get and how much you will notice that maybe you didn't notice the first time or the second time. Because I think they speak to us at a level that is where we are. So as we grow and evolve, then we may get new things from them, or deeper meanings in them. And I don't know when I'm going to do the next podcast. I only do it when I have the call, if that makes sense. And so I'm not asking you to go back and listen to kind of boost the figures or anything like that. In fact, just download them and then you've got them on your phone or you know, you can watch them again on YouTube or Rumble or whatever. But it's not about the metrics. You know, I'm not in this to have a big following or to get lots of hits. That's not what this is about. The reason why I wanted to thank you is because I know that if you're still listening, you probably get this on some level. You see, many, many people have the opportunity to hear the podcast, watch the videos, etc. Of them, a few actually watch or listen. And of them, only a tiny, tiny few actually hear the message. Because they need to be awake, they need to be interested in truth, they need to be spiritually awakening. And so, though many may hear, few actually really listen. And so I'm talking to you because you're one of those few. So I'm really, really grateful, because even if you were the only person that benefits from what I have produced here, then that actually is really, really important. That has great value. Because why? Because your higher self will benefit from you benefiting, and God created your higher self for a purpose. And so if you benefit, it means your higher self is benefiting. It means ultimately that serves God. So, you know, hopefully you have benefited. And I just wanted to say, you know what, thank you. Whether I'm talking to one or 100, it's you that matters. So hopefully if you've benefited, you would want to share this with others. And if you do, then I'm grateful. But not for me. I'm here the same as you. I'm here to serve my higher self. And hopefully, if I can, in some way, God. So for their higher selves, thank you. Now, this really is the end of this mini series, this podcast, this video. God bless you. Genuinely, God bless you. Thank you.